Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good morning, Amazing Grace. We are so blessed to be in the house of God. Let's give God another shout of praise. Hallelujah. We want to welcome all those who have joined us now from Facebook and YouTube. We greet you in Jesus' name. And we also want to give a great big shout out to all the mothers out there and across the land. And we wish you a happy Mother's Day. We hope that you have a wonderful time with your family and that you find a nice spot to have dinner somewhere. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And so I'm excited about today's message because it's exactly about that and about mothers. And so please allow me to go before the throne of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me get your attention to the screen here. If you have your cell phones, put them on the silent position. I've entitled this morning's message, Godly Mothers in the Midst of Darkness. In the midst of darkness. How many believe that in our nation there's still a whole lot of darkness? There's a whole lot of darkness. Down by University and Adams and those areas now, right now, I remember our son took us to a dinner. It was a sushi place out there. And I didn't realize how many women that were walking the streets. I'm talking women of the night. You know what I'm talking about. And it's more prevalent today. It's just right there, and there's a lot of darkness everywhere, not just in that aspect, but there's corruptness in almost every facet of life. And so one of the keys to honoring God is that mother who will nurture their child in the fear and admonition of the Lord, who will sow righteousness into their children, who will love their husband unconditionally, lay their life down, who will go that extra mile knowing that there's a reward laid up for them as they honor their family, as they honor their children. And so, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at a couple of passages here in Proverbs 31, 10 through 12, and then same chapter, we're going to look at 25 and 31. And so let's go there now. In Proverbs 31, 10 through 12, it reads, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." Notice rubies. This is one of the most precious stones in heaven, is the ruby. And when it's mentioned, that means there's value to this. There's not just value, but there is brilliance. There's beauty. When you look at a ruby, it's beautiful. It's not an ugly stone. There's a brilliance to it, the colors of it. And yet, you can't put a price on a ruby. And so God parallels that with a godly woman, with a virtuous wife. Look at this. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. And that's how we should be, husbands, able to trust our wives. Can I get amen? So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Wow, look at this. Proverbs 10, 25 through 28. Look at this. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he what? Praises her. Look at this in Proverbs 10, 29 through 31. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. God is talking about that one that he has called a ruby. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord, here's the key to all this. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. One of the things that God sees in women is character. Character. How does she carry herself? How does she entreat her children? How does she entreat her husband? How does she entreat her family? How does she entreat her neighbors? And let me just say this. There is a blessing when that godly woman operates and applies the biblical application of holy living and sacrifice unto the Lord. It's endless of what God will do through a godly woman. Let's look at this. What does the Bible say about Christian mothers? You see, being a mother is a very important role that the Lord chooses to give many women. And there are many beautiful mothers in this room right now. And when I mean that, and when I say that, I mean it. Because I've seen the fruit of your labor. I've seen your children. I've seen your grandchildren. And you are sown into their lives. You're bringing them into the household of God. You're doing exactly what God has asked you to do. And guess what? There's blessings that'll pursue you and follow you. You may not see them right now, but they're on their way. And God's always going to watch over you and keep you. A Christian mother is to love her children. We're going to look at this in the book of Titus, in part that she does not bring reproach to the Lord. In other words, she doesn't dishonor them. She doesn't mistreat them. I've seen some drunken mothers in my life. I've seen some wayward mothers. But the mothers that I see in this room are godly mothers. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And those are the ones I'd rather associate with. Can I get an amen? Amen? You know why? Because we all have the same like-mindedness. We have things in common. What are the things in common? The Word of God. The grace of God. The Spirit of God that lives within us. And so, she doesn't bring reproach to the Lord and on the Savior whose name she bears. Did you know that Jesus, his name is upon the women? Oh, that's right. Let's go to Titus. Look at this. In Titus 2, 4 through 5. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands. Now, these are the mothers in Zion are saying for the young women to admonish them and to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now, let me just say this. No mother will ever be perfect. But when you apply biblical application, you become faithful to God. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for faithfulness. With all of our mistakes, all of us missing the mark, but he still loves, he loves those who are faithful. Why? Because when you're faithful to God, he can work out those things in your life. Can I get amen? Amen? So let's look at this. How many of you believe that children are a gift from the Lord? How many of you believe that? Aren't they a gift? They are a gift. Can I get an amen? That's right. Look at this. In Psalms 127, it reads, Psalms 127, 3 through 5, behold, children are what? a gift from the Lord. It tells you right there in the Word. The fruit of the womb is a reward. The children that were ushered through your womb is a reward from God. It's a gift. Yes, I know some of you went through 9 months, and then that last few, that maybe the last week until the labor started. Man, that was the most treacherous part. But you were ushering out the gift that God had given you. And when you look at your children now, you're looking at a beautiful gift that God has given you. There had to be pain to receive the joy. There's things that we have to go through. We have to go through pain, and then we'll reap the joy. And so your mothers are reaping the joy of your children. Because they're precious. They're precious. Look at this, verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Woo! 5 children? 4. Quiver. Full quiver. Love you. How many? 6. Lord have mercy. My parents had 11 of us. I used to say, man, they didn't have a television set. They weren't watching Johnny Carson at night. Lord have mercy. Look at this. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. No, you should be thankful. Look at this is my sons. These are my daughters. Look, I'm so blessed to have them. Let me just say this. You may have one or two of them that sometimes drift or go on the wayside. God's not done with them. Can I get amen? All we are to do is pray and say, God, you created that child. You gave given them to us as a gift. We did our part. So God, now do the rest. And let me tell you, God is faithful. God will bring them in His time. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Look what Titus 2:4 says, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. This is a admonishment. This is an encouragement to you women to love their husbands, to love the children. Now, let's look at this right here. We're going to break down this word. The Greek word philoptikinos appears in reference to mothers loving their children. The word represents a special kind of mother love. Let me just say this. My wife loves me in a whole different way than my mother did. Our mothers have a special kind of love where they know how to embrace their children, how to speak to their children, how to get their attention. And then when they need someone to run to, they will always run to the mother. Can I get an amen? I never ran to my dad. Because he always had a belt. But I always ran to my mom. And then I ran to my abuelita, my grandmother, who spoiled me rotten. Always ran to them, and they understood me when I was a kid. And you understand your children. You know why? Because they have your heartbeat. Children have the heartbeat of their mom. And they know how to get to that place where, after all the chaos, peace will come. Love will come. And so the idea that flows out of this word right here, that Greek word, is that it's for caring for our children, nurturing them, affectionately embracing them, meeting their needs, and tenderly befriending each one as a unique gift from the hand of God. Because that's who they are. They're a gift from God. So let's look at this. Several things are commanded of the Christian mothers in God's Word. What are they? We're going to go through a couple of bullet points here. Number one, availability, morning, noon, and night, especially when the little one comes into the world. Did you know that a little infant, if you leave it alone for about a moment, it'll start crying? You know why it starts crying? It's not that it's hungry. It's because it's away from the heartbeat. For 9 months, it was right next to the heart. And so that's all the baby knew, was the heartbeat. And so when you set the little child aside, and maybe it went to sleep, but when it starts waking up, it wants to hear and be close to the mom because it wants to hear the heartbeat. And so, availability. And then even as they grow, we have to be there for them. Amen? Always be there for them. A lot of times, there are things that they can't figure out. But mothers know how to figure it out for them. Fathers do too. But that's another teaching for Father's Day. We're talking about mothers today. Amen?
Amen.
Deuteronomy 6:6. Look at this. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. This was a commandment to the Jews at the time, to the Hebrews, to train up their children, to teach them, to sow into their life. Sow values. Value. Let me just say this. Precious value that you sow into their life will not come back void. It will never come back void. But if you sow discord, if you sow disharmony, if you sow bitterness and anguish in them, they will be like that. Keep all that away. Show them respect and love that you're for them and not against them. Are they going to make mistakes? Yes. That's when you give them to dad. He'll deal with them. Amen. Number two, involvement. Interacting, discussing, thinking, processing life together. These are some things that are valuable, that are helpful. And if you do it in a godly manner, in a biblical manner, those children will accelerate. They'll go far beyond wherever you have gone. Why? Because the mothers today in the church have the wisdom and knowledge now. Where when we were in the world, we didn't. Did you know that when we were in the world, we were not in church, we were not under the Word of God? We were all having a Burger King life. We were having it our way. So whatever our parents taught us, that's what we taught them. And our grandparents taught, and a majority of our parents and grandparents weren't in the Word. I know my parents weren't in the Word. Were your parents in the Word of God? Were they Bible believers? Did they raise you up in the fear of damnation? No, a lot of us not. I need you to just hear me, what I'm going to say here. This generation, our generation, right now in real time, God came to our generation to destroy that curse. And He pulled us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And now God has given us the opportunity to go back to our parents, to go back to our grandparents, and to lead them to the cross. Amen. Why? Because it's not their fault that they didn't teach us, because no one taught them. It's not their fault. They just didn't have the wisdom and knowledge. But God is raising us up to reach them, to go back to them, to lead them to the cross, and then to download it to our children. It's twofold, the past and the present. That's what God wants to do in our life. And He's looking at us to do that. And guess what? We've been privileged to do so. He pulled us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He could have left us out in the world, but He didn't. He chose us for such a time as this, so that we can learn how to do it right before God's eyes. Amen? And you watch what God does with your children and grandchildren. They're going to grow leaps and bounds. Why? Because now you can sow righteousness in them through the Word of God. Look what Ephesians says. I got this out of the Living Translation. Now, a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord Himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. One of the things that when I was growing up, because my dad, like I said, my dad had no wisdom. No one taught him the word. So a lot of times if we disobey, we get the belt. And we get the belt and we have to go in the room. And that was it. A lot of times there was pain in that, but there was nothing that followed up. Meaning he never came back in and said, "Mijo, I had to do this because of this. If you learn not to do that, I won't have to do this. You know, this was wrong." I never got that follow-up. None of us did. Because they didn't have the knowledge to do that. It was just boom. You got your stripes and that was it. But that's not how God wants us to do. Listen, when we chastise our children in a godly way, we let them know why I have to chastise you. And then after you chastise them, then you lift them from that and bring them close to you again so that they understand I had to do this because that's my godly responsibility. You can't get away with these things. But I'm here to say I love you. And I'm praying that you don't have to follow that and do that again. So when you explain to them and then you pull them back in and you start loving on them after you had to chastise them, they will love you even greater. They'll want to say, "Man, God, I won't do that again." And they won't have no bitterness toward you either. You know why? Because you're showing them authority. True godly authority. And kids want authority. Did you know kids really want authority? Godly authority. They need to be led what's right and what's wrong. And that's our responsibility. And mothers do it very well. They do it very well. Number three, teaching scriptures and biblical worldview. Mothers, read the word with them. And you know what? You know what's so awesome? I see a lot of you bring in little grandkids, the little ones that come here. You know, when you have that opportunity with them, sow into their life. Share little Bible studies with them, little Bible stories. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them how precious they are. Tell them that God made you precious. Tell them that you know that God made you so beautiful that the angels in heaven rejoice. You know, when you start lifting up their little lives, they're gonna believe those godly things about themselves. And you will do them a whole lot of good. Look what it says in Psalm 78. I will reveal these truths to you so that you can describe these glorious deeds of Jehovah to your children and tell them about the mighty miracles he did. For he gave his laws to Israel and commanded our parents to teach them to their children. See, it was a commandment to teach the godly principles to their children. Look at verse 6. So that they in turn could teach their children too. So that was it. It's like, tag, you're it. As they grow to a certain age, now they're going to teach their children. Look at this. Thus, his laws passed down from generation to generation. In this way, each generation has been able to obey his laws and to set up his hope anew on God and not forget his glorious miracles. That's one of the things you want to always remind your children, how good God is and what he has done for you and your family and what he will continue to do. So one of the things that you teach your children is that there is hope in him. And when things are not going right in your life, teach them how to turn to the Lord for themselves. Can I get amen? Look at Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and what? Grandchildren. And like I said earlier, I see that happening right now before my eyes. And it brings me great joy to see that. What you all are doing. Look at verse 10. Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and they may teach their children. Teach them. Teach them well, saints. Can I get amen? Principle number 4, look at this. Training, helping a child develop skills and discover his or her strengths. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:22-6. Who knows what 22:6 says? Before I flip it there. No, don't look. Do you know it? Is it in your heart right now? Proverbs 22:6. I know it, but it's in front of me, so I can't say yeah, it's in my heart, because it's in front of me right now. But I know this scripture. This is a key scripture for you, and we're talking about mothers. Look at this, 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not what? Depart from it. Train him up in the ways of God. Train him up in prayer. Train them up in learning how to give of themselves. Train them up into reading the word, to be obedient, to be respectful. Teach them mannerism. All these things that a mother does is critical in a child. Because as they grow and mature, they won't forget those things. And guess what? They will teach it to their children. Thank you, God. And then also teach them the spiritual gifts that God has. Look at Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. Prophesy. You know what prophesy means? It doesn't mean you have to be a prophet. Oh, but thus saith the Lord God. No. When you prophesy, is you're preaching the gospel. You're letting people know about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're telling people that they can be saved. Amen. If they repent of their sins, if they turn to Jesus. That's what prophesying is. You know, we get a bad connotation when we think that when we see prophesy, we're thinking of a prophet. No, that's for us to use in portion to our faith. How many of you believe that God has given you a measure of faith? Amen. Oh, yes. Or ministry. God has given us ministry. Minister Marty's already being raised up to preach the word. God is going to take you higher and higher. You're going to be tagged, you're it. You're going to, like I said, one day you will pastor a church. It's in you. I already see it. God saw it already, though. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. Let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts, exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And that's one of the things that we have to learn. It should be merciful to, especially mothers. I've seen some wonderful mothers. They're merciful to their children. Can I get amen? Amen. Merciful. Even when they've done wrong, where you want to just take the belt and just strap them a couple of times. I know. Sometimes we go there. But learn to contain yourself and just learn that if I do it God's way, I'm going to get more that way than my anger. Okay, number five, discipline. Teaching the fear of the Lord. Drawing the line consistently, lovingly, but firmly. Listen, every home has its own rules. The rules in my home may not even pertain to your rules in your home, and I will never, I don't want to know what you do in your home, because you are, that's your home. But there should be rules in your home, right? When Sophia and Anthony and Marcos and Marisa were living with us, when they were teenagers, there were rules. One of the rules was they had to be in church, and they had to come out on Wednesday night Bible studies. They had to. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. They had to be home by 10. You know, those of them were, that were already, that can drive, and they were 18. I go, I don't care if you're 18. You still live under my roof. You're going to be home by 10. And they honored it. Let me just say, I set those boundaries for them, and they are implementing the same boundaries to their children. And I'm looking at it from afar now that all that has worked because they've all succeeded. And my grandchildren, all right, my granddaughter, she's enrolled in Spurgeon Bible College in Kansas City. She wants to take psychology, Christian psychology. She wants to be a counselor for ministries. Amen. And then you all know my son Anthony. He's leading one of the number one coffee company in the United States, in the world. And all that is because we sown righteousness when they were little. And now Sophia's doing the same thing with her kids. It's tag, you're it, tag, you're it. Listen, let me say this. Your children are valuable. Never think that they're burdens. They're not burdens. They're a gift from God. They're a wonderful gift from God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Cherish them. Because they're only there. They're only so young, and then all of a sudden, they're adults. And then a lot of them have moved on. Thank you, God. Look what Hebrews 12:5 says. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. Listen, there are times when you have to discipline your children. How many of you remember when you were disciplined as a child? Woo! I remember the welts. Still feel it. Oh yeah, still feel it. And there was no explanation afterward. Because no one taught them. So when you look back at that, you can't blame them. Because they had no wisdom. They had no biblical understanding. And so, that's where, as now adults, and we're saved, this is where God is saying to your heart, forgive them. You just got to remember that and forgive them. Because they did not know what they were doing. Look at verse 7 here. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you become without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Who's got a King James Bible with them? King James. Anyone has the regular King James? Huh? New King James. So that word illegitimate in King James, because this is New King James, that word illegitimate is bastard. I used to think that was a curse word. No, you know what a bastard is? It is an ostracized kid, meaning no one's claiming that kid as their child. He's been ostracized, so he's insignificant. And so if you're not God, you're not his, and he won't chastise you. But when you're his and you get out of line, God will chastise you. Why? Because you're his. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But for he is our prophet, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Praise God. And verse 11. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Did you catch that at all? When you chasten your child in a godly way, there will be fruit that will prevail later. Praise God. God allows us to do those things. And God, we have to allow God also to chastise us. Amen? Number 6, nurture. Providing an environment of constant verbal support, freedom to fail, acceptance, affection, and unconditional love. This is what God wants to see in godly mothers, is that role right there. Kids are going to make mistakes. Can I get amen? But they're there to show them verbal support. And when I say verbal support, it doesn't mean bleepity, bleepity, bleep, bleep, bleep. I've seen in this world, I'm not talking in the church, but just in general, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in some mothers. And it could get ugly. But we won't go there right now. Look at this in Titus. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, meaning for sound teaching, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love, and in patience. And the older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Love your children. Love your husband. That's what we're called to do. That's what mothers are called to do. Amen. Number 7. Oh, we got Proverbs 10:9. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Wow. All right, now we're going to look at... What happened to... Oh, missed it. Oh, here we go. Nurture. We just read Titus, right? Yes. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. So now we're going to look at, as we come in for a close, we're going to look at some godly women in the Bible. Godly women. Now, the women in the Bible are mentioned for purpose. God mentions them in His Word. Why? Because, number one, they had beautiful character. They were godly. And they loved the Lord. So let's look at this. Eve, the original mother, more specifically of Cain and Abel, Seth, and several unnamed others, wife to Adam. And everyone blames Eve for biting the apple. I look at it like this. What was Adam? To protect her from eating it. He should have been there. I said, no, don't, no, honey, don't eat that. No. She was deceived, wasn't she? And because of that, sin entered into the world. And we're recipients of all that. But thank God he made a way of escape for us. Can I get amen? He sent Jesus to correct that wrong. Thousands of years later, Jesus came to set us free from bondage of sin. Can I get amen? Praise God. Praise God. And then there was Sarah, wife to Abraham and mother of Isaac. This woman lived, she gave birth. How old was she when she gave birth? Does anyone know? 99. Come on, think of that for a moment. 99 and she gave birth. She had to look real old. And yet, Isaac came, the promise came. That was a supernatural birth. Let me just say this. Whatever God's promised you, he'll bring it to pass. Can I get amen? Yes. And then we have Rebecca, wife to Isaac and mother of Jacob and Esau. Rebecca. God mentions Rebecca. And she loved Isaac. And she loved Jacob and Esau. Even though we got Esau, who became the father of the Arab nation, and Jacob. He was a prankster. Too many stories with these guys. We can only touch it on briefly. And then there was Bathsheba. God mentions Bathsheba. Now let me just say this. King David approached her. She was minding her own business. And the king, with his authority, is the one that took her. She just looked at whatever the king says. We all know the story. David sinned before God. Psalms 51. How many have read Psalms 51? Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew the right spirit within me. Why? Because he sinned before God. He took Bathsheba and he killed her husband. He sent him to the front lines to be killed so that he could take her as his own. And God called him out. The prophet Nathan called him out. And praise God for David. Because David could have said, off with your head, get out of here. Who are you to come and tell me this? No, King David fell on his face and repented. And because of his sin, God said that there will always be turmoil in your family. And there has always been his own son, John. Who was the son that came after David? He had a son that wanted to kill his own dad. There was a whole lot of chaos in his family. Absalom. And then there was Jochebed. She's mentioned in the Bible. She was Moses' mom. She was mother to Moses, to Aaron, and to Miriam. Now, in the movie The Ten Commandments, that was just a movie. Remember, she was the one that was caught in the stone? And then Moses ran over there and freed her. Well, that was Hollywood, but that was Jochebed. and she's mentioned. And then there was Hannah. She was wife to Elkanah, mother of Samuel. Samuel the prophet. Remember Samuel? Any of you see House of David? Remember Samuel? Well, Hannah, that was his mom. And then there was Elizabeth, wife to Zechariah and mother of John the Baptist. You know, John and Jesus, they were primos. Praise God. But Elizabeth, she was chosen by God to carry the forerunner, John the Baptist. John the Baptist came and led the way to repentance. He's the one that called out truth. He's the one that had to bring truth to the kings that were in sin. He called out a lot of sin, and they hated him. And that's why he was always out in the wilderness. He had badger clothes, and all he ate was locusts and honey. He looked like a wild man out there. And yet God used him. And many were coming to get baptized for repentance. He goes, but someone greater than I is coming. And that was Jesus. Amen. And then there's mother of Jesus, Mary, wife to Joseph, tender-hearted. Did you know that when Jesus was on the cross, he said to John, take care of my mother. Why? Because Jesus loved his mom. And the things that they had to do, how many places did they have to go hide because the devil wanted to take Jesus out? They had to go to Egypt. They had to go to many places to hide from the enemy. Just imagine what she had to go through. And she's mentioned that she loved her son. You see, a godly wife that becomes a godly mother learns how to submit herself to the headship of her husband as ordained by God. This is all ordained by God. And what God's doing, let me talk to you mothers that have husbands. Some of them are saved, some of them maybe are not saved. But don't give up. Continue to pray. Continue to seek God. Can I get amen? And those of you that are single are praying for a husband. Because one day you will become a mother. Can I get amen? And God wants to teach you godly principles. The book of Ephesians spells it out. Look at this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You see, my friends, a godly mother receives or recognizes the most free place that she can be under the authority of her husband. If her husband is loving her in a Christ-like manner, she is free to roam under his authority. She wants to be under his authority. She's not under a yoke of bondage. Back in the day, you know, I've seen couples that don't know the Lord. Man, sometimes wives were like slave-driven. You know, husbands would come home drunk. Come home and, where's my food? Where's this and that? There's some people still like that. But wives, if you got a saved husband, man, praise God. Thank God. Say, thank you, Jesus. Why? Because he'll love you like he loves God. Or learning to do so. He may not be there yet. Keep praying for him. Can I get amen? If a wife is married to a godly husband, that is an absolute astounding gift that God could never give you. Because you'll be so safe and secure. You'll want to be around Him. You'll want to be with Him. Praise God. Why? Because there's a fragrance of righteousness that flows out of them. They love the Lord. And you know it. You'll sense it. And that'll be your security. Because they'll entreat you with love so that you can love others as well. A godly mother recognizes that she's industrious and creative. The past couple of days, my wife was in her sewing room. I go, "What are you doing back there?" I never seen you there for that much of time. She was making those things for you women. She's creative. She makes things with her hands. And I go, "Man, you're the Proverbs 31 lady. You're virtuous. You create things." And I'm so blessed and honored to see it for myself. She was thinking of all you. That's where her heart is. Her heart is to serve the Lord. She serves me. She serves everyone here. She just loves God. And for you young men that will be married one day, pray for a virtuous wife. Pray for a wife that will love you, that will serve you, that will serve others, that won't bicker with you, won't fight with you, won't challenge you all the time. There's some women, man, they want to wear the pants. I asked this one brother, because I saw, I'm not going to say their name. I go, "So brother, who wears the pants in your family, man?" He goes, "I do, but she tells me what color." Listen, when you husbands, I mean youngsters, young men, pray for a godly wife. It'll be heaven on earth. I'm serious. Why do I know this? Because in my first marriage, I wasn't saved. It was like this. We just butted heads. We butted heads. We never got anything right. It was always argument, always negativity, always, you know, just screaming at each other. It was ugly. And when I got saved, I was already divorced for 10 years. And I asked God, "God, why did it take 10 years to bring me, that you brought this beautiful woman to my life? How come it didn't happen sooner?" He goes, "I need it first for you to learn how to love me before I can give you one of my daughters." So for those 10 years, you were learning to love me and to serve me. Now I can trust you with one of my daughters. I got it then. Because we've been married now 29 years. And we've argued less times of fingers you see up here. We don't argue. We learn to love each other. We praise each other in the morning when we wake up. We're never angry at each other. I look at her as like, she's a gift that God gave me from His garden, and I'm going to nurture it. I'm going to water it. I'm going to keep on loving what God has given me. Why? Because I don't want to take it for advantage. Because I remember the first time. It was ugly. And I never wanted to go there again. And God has allowed me a second time at it. And it's been 29 years, and we've been just loving each other. And I'm very thankful. I'm a thankful husband, thankful dad. I have the best of both worlds. And When I say best of both worlds, a beautiful wife and a beautiful church family that I could continue to love and pour out my heart. That's what God will do in your heart when you honor Him. And so, we're going to close with these characteristics. I only have just a few. We'll just hit on them real shortly. But I know some of you have lunch appointments and dinner appointments, or I don't know where you're going for Mother's Day. But let's look at this. We'll look at characteristics of godly mothers. Number one, a godly mother prays and reads the Word of God. Can I get amen? Amen. Number two, she is a mother who has learned to trust God for every need. Every need, you learn and trust God. Number three, a godly mother is generous. She's not stingy. No, that's mine. Go get yours. No. If you have a pack of gum, ask them. Would you like one too? She's obedient to God. Can I get an amen? Wives, learn to be obedient to God. There's blessings in store with that. Look at this. A mother who is godly is forgiving. She'll forgive right away. Yeah, you can double cross her. You can hurt her feelings. You can slander her. You can talk about her. You can do all kinds of these things that the world does. But a godly mother will learn to forgive you. Despite of it all. Why? Because Jesus on the cross, the last thing he said, His Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Look at number six. A godly mother has an attitude of persistence. She's persistent on doing the right thing in life. A godly mother is a servant. A servant. I don't know how many times my wife has served me, so many times, daily, with dinner, and she does the clothes, and she does so many things that I don't have to ask her. She just does them. Why? Because she's serving us. She's serving me. You know that's so precious? That is a precious thing. And the only way I can, there's only two ways I can pay it back. Is number one, continue to love God and continue to love her unconditionally. Thank you, God. Because you can't buy that stuff. You could only express it through your heart of love. Number eight, she lives an orderly life. An orderly life. Her life's in order. She has the right perspective. God first, then her husband, then her children. Can I get an amen? But God has to be number one in her life. Women, if you don't have a quiet time with the Lord, establish one. Have a quality time with the Lord. And watch God speak to you. He will speak loud and clear in your life. Look at this. A godly mother is an encourager. She wants to encourage you. You can do it. Tú puedes. Si puedes. You can do it. With God, all things are possible. Let them know how, no matter what the challenge is, that you can do it. Mijo, you can do it. Mija, you can do it. My love, you can do it. Be the encourager. Don't be like that cartoon character. Remember in Gulliver's Travels? Remember Gulliver's? It'll never work. That can never happen. No. You remember that little character in Gulliver's Travels? Oh, some of you remember that one, huh? Don't be that guy. Look, number 10, a godly mother loves unconditionally. Ooh. It can't be like this. If you do this for me, then I will do that for you. No, that's not unconditional. That's conditional. That's stipulations. That's almost a contract. Unconditional. So I close with these questions, and then we'll pray. Number one, if you were blessed with a godly mother, what qualities do you admire in her? Just think about it. What qualities? There's one mother I can think of right now. Sister June. Your mother. Yeah, your mother. Joan. Sister Joan. I love that woman. She used to fan the flames when she was living here in San Diego. Lafayette's mom was to sit right in that one corner. Preach. Praise the Lord. God bless you. And then she would always give me a hug right after church. I go, man. And then when she was going to move, she moved to where? North Carolina. North Carolina, man. I cried. I go, no, not Sister Joan. Does she? Oh, my gosh. Your mom. Love that woman. She was a blessing. Still a blessing. But what qualities can you think of your mom? And is she alive today? Go tell her that you love her about what things she has done and said in your life. All the positive things. Number two, how has she shaped who you are today? How has she? And number three, if you are a parent, what godly character traits do you want to develop in your own life and model for your children? There's many. Pick and choose the right one for you that will honor God, that will honor your children, and that your husband will learn to always trust you in all that you do. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful day, Mother's Day. We thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your children. We thank you, Lord, for the mothers that are here, the mothers that are watching on Facebook and YouTube. I pray blessings upon them this day. Continue to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Continue to pour out your spirit upon them. Strengthen them, oh God, when things go tough. I pray, Lord, for those, Lord, that are praying for husbands, Lord, that the next Prince Charming will be a godly man that loves the Lord with his whole heart, soul, and mind, and that he would learn to lay down his life for her. And that you would know, you would be blessed to know that God plucked them out of his garden for you. I pray for the mothers right now, Lord, that you would continue to give them great wisdom and understanding of the word. And Lord, that they would draw close to you. And Lord, that your power, your anointing, your wisdom would be instilled in them. And that they would always want to draw close to you, God. I pray for their children, Lord, that they would grow in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I pray for their husbands, Lord, that you would bless them and they would learn how to lay down their lives for their wives and learn to love them unconditionally. And so, God, we thank you for them. We thank you for all that you're doing. And I'm praying for those right now that maybe, just maybe, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and watch what God will do in your life. And so I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And watch God do the miraculous in your heart and your life. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.